This morning, we come to message two. So please make sure you've turned to the outline for message two. What I'd like to do this morning is before we go through the outline with its marvelous points, I would like to give a little introduction, and this introduction will cover a little bit about the burden for this weekend and also be a little summary from our message last night. Can anyone tell me what the general subject is for the conference this weekend? Can anyone tell me? Go ahead. A normal fruit-bearing life. Okay? Normal fruit-bearing life. There are four messages. I'd like to tell you the first two messages. The focus is more on normal. Tonight, be more of a focus on fruit-bearing. And tomorrow morning, before you go home, there'll be more of a focus on living. So last night and this morning, what I am burdened to talk to you about, what I would like you to get, is normal. What we are talking about is how to be normal. What is the opposite of normal? Abnormal. Oh, brothers, my heart is that none of us, not one of us, would be abnormal. My heart is that the Lord's light would shine and all of us would have a clear seeing, a clear defining of what it is to be normal. Okay, so let's take a look at it. Now, I know those of you right on the ends, you can't see. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to draw a line down the middle of the whiteboard. And on one side, the left-hand side, I'm going to write the word normal. And what's the opposite on the right-hand side of the line? Abnormal. All right. Which side of the line do you want to be on? You want to be on the normal side or the abnormal side? Normal. You want to be normal. Well, let's take a few minutes and let's define what it means to be normal. Well, last night we saw that when God created us, He created us not abnormal. He created us to be normal. And that is, He created us as His... what's that D word? Duplication. That's right. Maybe Peter, you could write for me. Okay? On this side? Duplication. We were created to be His duplication, to look just like Him. So let me ask you, is it normal to look like God? Yes. Is it normal to express God? Yes. Is it normal to bring God's dominion wherever we go? Yes. That's what it is to be normal. Okay, now I'll tell you the truth. As I was preparing, I thought, I need to look up in the dictionary what it means to be a duplication, right? And there in the dictionary, it has the word to be a copy or to be the same as, right? And as I opened the Webster's Dictionary, and I was looking down D-U-D-U-P, you know how you try to find a word in the dictionary? My duplicating... And then there was a word, duplicity. Duplicity. And when I saw duplicity, I thought, oh, maybe that means something about multiplying the duplication. But I read the word duplicity. It's right under the word duplicate. You know what duplicity means? It means to deceive, to be deceitful. And you know, we have this word. Maybe you don't use it anymore, but when I grew up, we had this word saying, don't be duped. Or, ah, you got duped. Right? Man, that guy duped you. It's like, you got fooled. You know, you thought you were getting this, but actually you got this. Right? You got duped. Well, I like to tell you, to be abnormal is to be duped. It's not to be a duplication of the Lord. It's to be deceived. It's to become filled with something other than the Lord, to express something other than the Lord. That's what it is to be abnormal. It's to have an expression that is anything other than the Lord, and for us to think that is what we were made for. Oh, brothers, let's not get duped. Okay? This earth, this world, is full of people who are deceived. Full of people who are expressing something other than the Lord. And they're trying to tell us, this is what you should be like. They're trying to tell us, you should look like us. But we have to realize, no, I can't look like you. That's to be duped. That's to be deceived. That's to not be normal. What is it to be normal? It's to contain the Lord and to express the Lord. So on this side, to be normal, we have to be the Lord's duplication. But how are we going to be the Lord's duplication? We have to receive the Lord. We have to contain the Lord. We have to be filled with the Lord. When the Lord is our content, when we are filled with the Lord, then spontaneously, we are able to express Him. That's right. So this weekend, we also, along with the messages, we're doing a lot to help you learn how to be filled with the Lord. How to have the Lord as your content every day. How to have a fresh filling with the Lord. Because we know that when we get filled with the Lord, we just start to express Him without even trying. And you know, this matter of being the Lord's duplication, being the Lord's expression, being His representative on the earth, it's not a strange thing. It's not a weird kind of thing. It's very normal. And I'd like to just make something clear. To have the Lord's expression in us, to have the Lord's authority with us, it doesn't make you weird. Maybe you're thinking, what's it like to express the Lord? What's it like to represent the Lord? Well, it's not like this. It's not like you wake up in the morning and you get dressed in really strange-looking robes. You know, put on a, maybe what you think is like a priestly robe. Then you walk onto your junior high campus and you say, here I am! I am here as the expression of God. I am here as God's representative. From this point on, you all have to ask me what to do. From this point on, I will tell you what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do, because I am the expression and the representation of God. Now, let me ask you, is that normal? No, that's not normal. Okay? So when we talk to you about going to your junior high, about going to be with your friends, to express the Lord, to represent the Lord, we're not talking about it in that kind of way. That kind of way is what we would call peculiar. Okay? And we're not here to be that kind of peculiar. We're here to be normal, to be filled with the Lord. When we're filled with the Lord starts to be just, in a normal way, expressed through us. People begin to see the Lord in our living, to see the Lord in the way that we live, in the way that we dress, in the way that we speak, in the way that we behave, in the way that we conduct ourselves. People begin to see God. In the decisions that we make, people see a representation of God. It's very, very normal. And we have to understand that there is this battle going on the earth. There is Satan who has deceived everybody. So just like this glove, if this represents people that have been deceived, Satan has deceived them to think that they're normal when they're not filled with God. He has deceived them to think they're normal when they are expressing something other than God. So there's all these people walking around like this, thinking they're normal. But what we need to be those who are normal by being filled with the Lord. Let me put it on the right way. So that when we come into their presence and we are just living a very normal life, a proper life, they look at us and they realize, wow, there's something different about you. But a good kind of different. A right kind of different. Wow, you really, there's something right about the way you're living. There's something right about what you're expressing. I want that. I want that. And it all began, this reality, all began with the Lord Jesus. He was the very first man that was normal. That's right. He was the very first man that was normal according to God's standard. Because he was a man who was filled with God. You know what happened? He came to the earth. He was a real man, filled with God, and his living was the most normal, it was the absolute most normal kind of living a man could ever live. And as he lived, and as he was with people, he began to attract people. And so one day, he saw Peter and Andrew, follow me, so stand up, follow me. And they just began to follow him. Come, follow me. Then he came along, he saw James and John, stand up, follow me. Then he saw some others, follow me, Philip, Nathaniel, come on, follow me. Who else was there? Matthew was a really bad guy, he was a crook. Saw him in his office. He said, Levi, man, follow me. He didn't say, you're a crook. You're a lousy thief stealing from people. Cut that out. Follow me. No, there was something about him. His living was so normal that people were attracted. And it gave him authority. Follow me. Okay, come on, follow me. Right? All these people just began to follow the Lord. Okay, as we get back to your seat, you can sit down, okay? All right? Something so normal about the Lord. And during his time on the earth, through his normal living of expressing the Lord, expressing God, people were drawn. People were drawn to God. And people became filled with God. So he was a model. But as the model, he started to get reproduced. So now people also started to receive the Lord and be filled with God. And then they were sent out. And they were sent out to cities and other places. And when they went there in a normal way, living a normal way among the people and speaking in a normal way about what they had, other people began to realize, that's right, that's what it is to be normal. The way I was living before, that was abnormal. The way you're living, what you're speaking about, that's normal. And so people in these other cities believed in the Lord. They received the Lord as their content. They began to express the Lord. They began to represent the Lord in their city. Wow. Have you ever played Risk? Okay, you know Risk, right? There's a big map of the earth, right? In countries. And you get to start with only a few armies, right? Or a few men. But what's the goal in the game of Risk? You want to fill the whole earth with your men, right? With your army. Well, junior high brothers, can you see this? This is what God wants to do. When he looks on this earth, he sees countries. He sees cities. He sees places where people do not have God as their content and their expression. And so what does he want to do? He wants to send the ones. He wants to send you and me who have God in them, who are expressing God. He wants to send us to those countries. He wants to send us to those cities. He wants to send us to those neighborhoods. He wants to send us to those schools so we could go there in a normal way. And as we're there in a normal way expressing the Lord and representing the Lord, others will see, that's it. That's the meaning of life. So in the end, this whole earth should come under the influence of us. Brothers, that's right. In the end, this whole earth should come under our influence. So right now, I want to tell you, there's a battle going on. There's a battle of influence going on. Who's going to influence who? Are the ones filled with the Lord, expressing the Lord, are they going to influence the ones who are not filled with the Lord? Or are these ones going to influence us and cause us to be ashamed, to cause us to hide, to cause us to not want to make known to others what we have? Oh, right now, this is battle, this influence. Right now, isn't it going on in junior high? Isn't it at junior high? Don't you feel a little bit of a battle? Don't you feel like, who's going to influence who? Am I going to influence them, or are they going to influence me? And the way they influence you is they don't want you to express what you have. They don't want you to express what you have. They want you to express something different. Or they want you to feel ashamed that you would cover up. Well, today, we see we should not be ashamed. We should not hide. We should not cover up. Okay? All right, so now let's come to the outline with this understanding. Okay? Let's read the title for message 2 together. The Believer's Influence on the World as Salt and Light. Okay, the believer's influence. That's right. That's right. You can be influential. Wow. Wouldn't you like to be known as an influential person? Right? Have you not done studies of famous people throughout history? And you're like, wow, that person was awesome. He was so influential in the way he, you know, some people have influenced countries. Some people have influenced world history. Well, I like to tell you, we're greater than all those people. And we can have an influence. Oh, I hope you would be inspired this morning. Amen. To be an influential person. Amen. That you have to be the right kind of influence on someone, brothers. That's right. You have to be a good influence, right? So let's go through this outline together, and let's let the Lord touch us, shine on us, how we could be a good influence on those around us. Okay, let's read Roman numeral 1 together.
You are the salt of the earth.
Okay, brothers, that was really weak, okay? I was not very influenced, okay? All right, together, go.
You are the salt of the earth.
That's right. Who's the salt of the earth? Okay, I want you to say, I am. Ready? Who's the salt of the earth?
I am.
Who?
I am.
Brothers on the back row, who's the salt of the earth?
I am.
Good. Brothers way back there, who's the salt of the earth?
I am.
Okay, brothers on the front row here, who's the salt of the earth?
I am.
Who?
I am.
That's right. We are the salt of the earth. Who said that? Do you know who said that? The Lord Jesus said that to those who he attracted through his very normal kind of living. He said to them, you are the salt of the earth. Okay, let's read Matthew 15:3 together with a good exercise of our spirit. Ready? You are the salt of the earth. Amen. Okay, there's two parts to this verse. There is a wonderful reality. That is, we are the salt of the earth. This should be our function. Our function should be that we salt. And we'll see a little bit what that means. But there's also a sobering part to this verse. It is possible for one who is the salt of the earth to become tasteless, to become, to lack saltiness. In other words, to not have the proper influence that salt should have. Let me ask you, if you were to sit down at the lunch table today and grab the salt shaker and pour the content onto your food, what is your expectation when you taste the food? Salty, right? Your normal normal expectation is when you taste that salt on your food, that salt would have affected the food, influenced the food to make the food salty. Isn't that normal? You would expect that. What if you poured the salt on your food and you tasted the food and it didn't taste at all salty? You would think, weird, right? Something's wrong with the salt. Something's wrong with the salt. It has lost its saltiness. What would you do with it? You wouldn't want to use it again, right? It's lost its usefulness. It's no longer useful in its function. So there is a sobering aspect here that we should not lose our saltiness. Brothers, do not lose your saltiness. Okay, well, we better look at what it means to be salty, okay? Okay, let's read A together. Salt, by nature, is an element that kills and eliminates the germs of corruption. B, to the corrupted earth and people of the kingdom of the heavens, such an element, keeping the earth from being fully corrupted. Okay, salt by nature. Right? Salt exists naturally, and by nature, it has this element in it that kills germs. Today, because we have freezers and refrigerators, they don't use salt so much. But before there were freezers and refrigerators, anything that could get corrupted, any kind of food, they would preserve it with salt. If they killed meat and they wanted to preserve it, they often would pack it in barrels filled with salt. And the salt would kill any germs that would corrupt the meat or cause the meat to go rotten. And that would keep the meat. It would keep it so that you were able to eat it. But let me ask you, how do you think that meat tasted when you took it out? Salty, right? It was salty because of the effectiveness of the salt in its killing of the germs and preserving of the meat. So salt kills germs. Salt can eliminate rottenness. You ever put salt on a wound? Ooh, right? But that stinging is eliminating. It's killing all the germs, right? Don't do it, but it hurts, okay? And salt can preserve. So salt not only kills, not only eliminates, but this is very important. Salt can preserve. So how does this relate to us? Well, brothers, we have the Lord within us. And with the Lord being within us, that makes us the salt of the earth. We should be people on the earth that are helping to preserve this earth, to preserve it in the condition that God created it. When God created man, when He created everything, God said, "This is good, good." God created everything good. But the Bible tells us that God's enemy has come in to corrupt things. And this corruption actually has gone in four steps. And this corruption would go even further. You think things are bad? Actually, God's enemy would like to corrupt things on this earth even more. But do you know what is restricting him? Do you know what is holding him back? Do you know what is somewhat preserving things in the state that it is now? It is the salt of God's people. It is the influence of God's people. It is our influence that helps to preserve the condition of our age. You know, every age you're in has a certain condition. And if you look, the enemy is looking to try to bring the condition of your age, the standard of your age, lower than the standard of your parents' age. But what is stopping this decline? What is slowing down this further corrupting. It is us. It is our living. Our living in a very normal way is like salt, helping to preserve the condition on this earth. Would you like things to get worse? Or would you like things to at least be preserved? Would you like the moral condition in which you're living to get worse or at least somewhat be preserved? Well, surely the right answer, and an answer in the light, would be, I want things to be preserved. Well, our living is a preserving factor on this earth today. Okay, so let's illustrate it. Okay, how do you think it works for us being the salt of the earth? How do you think it works? We don't know, right? So let's try to illustrate it. Okay, have you ever, let's use a specific example. How about language? How about our speech? How about words that we use? Okay? You're raised by your parents. Your parents have trained you to speak properly without using foul words. There are certain words that are foul, that are gross. And as you get older, those around you start to use those foul words. We call it foul language, right? Cuss words. Dirty words. Maybe already your friends in junior high feel like now we're in junior high, we get to pick up a few foul words. We get to use a few cuss words. And so they start to cuss. They start to say foul things. But you, because you are full of the Lord, because you are living a normal life, you don't use those words. And then you begin to notice that when you come in the midst of your friends, they stop using those foul words. They don't say those words anymore. And they may even be in the middle of the sentence to say, what the? And then they stop. Now, did you say, stop? Don't say that word. No, but you're salty. Your presence brings in a preserving element. And that is normal. That is the way it should be. When those that we are around, they should be influenced by us. That is normal. What are some other ways we could be the salt? Well, speech is one thing, right? How about in a very normal way, how about a new kid comes to school? Now, let's say the new kid comes from another country and he has a funny accent, okay? And maybe he walks to school wearing the clothes that he wears in his country, and they're not the kind of clothes a junior high boy would wear to junior high. What will most of the kids at junior high do? They will laugh, right? And they will make fun, and they will tease. But what about you and I? What about us being there? Will we laugh? No. Will we make fun? No. Even maybe our friends might start to laugh, but we don't laugh with them. And they see us not laughing and they stop. Maybe we feel the Lord says, go over and say hello to them. And we go over and we say hello to them. And we welcome them. And even we invite them to come and sit down with our friends to eat lunch. Well, I tell you, we do that, we're like being the salt. We're bringing in a preserving. What is the proper humanity? Is the proper normal humanity to take care of someone? To welcome someone? Is proper normal humanity to make fun of someone? To mock someone? Let me ask you, what's normal in that situation? To be normal in that situation is to care for someone, right? Well, I'm afraid that if we're not being a positive influence, eventually everyone at junior high will use cuss words and swear. Everyone at junior high will pick on the new kid, make fun of the new kid. Now, these are just very simple examples, okay? But they're just examples to show you how normal it is to be the salt. It's normal. It's normal. Just through our living, there is a normal salting function that goes on with our presence being there. And this is normal. Okay, let's go on. Let's read Roman numeral 2 together. The possibility of becoming tasteless. Okay, let's read A. For the kingdom people. Distinguishable unbeliever. Okay, let's read B together. Let's read a little stronger. Okay, how about everybody stand up? Okay? Everybody stand up. Ready? We'll read it together. Go. Lot's wife is an example of this, and a strong warning to us not to lose the distinction between us and the world. Okay, let's all call on the Lord loudly 4 times together. Oh, Lord Jesus! Oh, Lord Jesus!
Oh,
Lord Jesus! Oh, Lord Jesus! Okay, sit down. Let's all say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Ready? Lord Jesus, I love you. Okay. Okay. So this Roman numeral 2 is sobering because even though we are to be the salt, there is the possibility that we could become saltless, tasteless, not have our function anymore. And a good example of this was Lot's wife. Lot's wife was with Lot in an evil place, and the Lord sent 2 angels to get them out of that place because the Lord's judgment was coming there. And as they were fleeing, they were told by the angels, do not look back. Do not look back. Well, as they were fleeing, Lot's wife looked back. And at that moment, she looked back, she became a pillar of salt. Now, a pillar of salt is not great. A pillar of salt is not a good thing. By becoming a pillar of salt, she lost her usefulness. Why? Because she looked back. What is the significance of her looking back? Her looking back on the world that God was judging at that time, her looking back showed that she loved that more. It showed that she wanted to be there because what she loved was there. So we talked about this battle of influence. Who's going to influence who? We should be the salt influencing the world. But the world wants to influence us. See, the way we're the salt is by our content, by being filled with the Lord. The more we're filled with the Lord, the more salty we are. But the world wants us to not love the Lord. The world wants us to love other things. And as we begin to love other things, we lose our saltiness. We lose our distinction from those in the world. And in the end, our living goes from being normal to being an abnormal living. It goes from a living where there was the expressing of the Lord to a living where it doesn't express the Lord anymore. It looks just the same as those who don't have the Lord. Well, as soon as our living becomes exactly the same as those who do not have the Lord, then we have lost our saltiness. We have lost our distinction. We have lost our usefulness. We have lost our influence. Brothers, don't lose your influence. Don't lose your saltiness. How do we do this? We need to keep loving the Lord. We're going to get into this right at the end of this outline. We need to take care of every day loving the Lord, spending time with the Lord, being freshly filled with the Lord. This will help us not to love the world. It will supply us not to become just like those who are in the world. Okay, well, we need to go on, okay, for the sake of time. Oh, by the way, brothers, I'm going to finish with enough time for most of you to be able to speak. Okay, so are you writing notes? Okay, junior high brothers, are you going to be ready? When I've done my part and I sit down, are you going to be ready to do your part to speak? Okay, so if you were taking a nap, now's the time to wake up, right? Now's the time to take notes. Okay? All right. So not only do we influence the world as salt, we influence the earth as salt, we influence the world as light. So let's come to Roman numeral 3. This is a really good point. I have a couple of real life testimonies that happened just this week, okay, to tell you about how wonderful it is to be light. Okay, are you ready? Let's read it boldly together, Roman numeral 3. You are the light of the world. What are you?
The light of the world.
The light. That's right. What should a light do? Shine. Shine. Isn't there a song? I remember singing a song when I was younger, right? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Do you all know that song? No, I don't think people know this song anymore. Well, okay, maybe. Okay, who knows it? Can we sing it? It's easy, right? Yeah. Go ahead, start it. Light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Okay, again. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine! Let it shine! Let it shine! When I was your age, and we used to sing a verse, won't let Satan stomp it out or blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. You know what Satan wants to do? He wants to stop you shining. He wants to make you abnormal. But we are burdened for you to be normal. Okay, so how do we shine? Oh, how do we shine? Do you really think there's going to be a light bulb on your head? Or maybe a halo on your head? And when you walk to campus, the halo shines? And you walk around shining? No. Through our behavior, through the way we live, through the way we conduct ourselves before others, that becomes a light. That becomes a shining to them of what it is to be normal. Because remember, all those in the world, they are in darkness. They cannot see what it is to be normal. That's why they can do all kinds of abnormal things and think it's okay. It's like being in the dark. You can pick up all kinds of dangerous things and think you're okay. And then someone switches the light on. I'm holding a snake. I have a scorpion. I'm holding the wrong end of a knife. Well, in the dark, you can do all those things and think you're okay. When the light comes, you're, whoa! So we are the light in the way that we live. In a very normal living, our behavior is like a shining to people. Okay, let's read through this. Then I'll tell you those two real life testimonies. And then we'll end with a practical point, and then it's your turn to speak. Okay, I want seventh grade brothers to stand up with a strong exercise spirit to read Matthew 5:14. Go. You are the light of the world. Okay, brothers, that was okay. Okay? But not good. So let's read it the normal way. Stand up, seventh grade. Ready? I'm going to count. One, two, three, and then we all start together. One, two, three. You are the light of the world. It is impossible for a city situated upon a mountain to be hidden. Okay, good. Sit down. So our living, our shining, should not be hidden. It should be seen by those around us. Okay, eighth grade brothers, stand up and read Matthew 5:15. One, two, three. Nor a lamp.
Place it under a bushel, but on the lampstand, and it shines.
So to all those
who are in the house.
Good. Would it be normal for you to go into someone's house and they had a lamp in the corner, but they put a bushel, a basket over the top of the lamp so the light wouldn't shine? That's abnormal. What is normal? Take the bushel off. Let the light shine. Okay, how about serving ones? Read Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before men,
so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in the heavens.
Okay, good. Okay, brothers, we're going to pray read together. Okay, you're going to follow me. Are you ready? We're going to take Matthew 5:16, a few key words. Let your light.
Let your light.
Your light.
Your light.
Your.
Your.
Light.
Light.
Light. My light.
My light.
Shine.
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 Shine. Shine.
Before men.
Before
men.
Before men.
Before my friends.
Before my classmates.
Before my school.
Before my neighbors.
My light would shine.
So that they may see. Shine so that.
Shine so that,
so that,
so that
they,
all those around me,
may see,
may see,
may see. Okay, let's have the two rows back there stand up. You'll finish it with me. Okay, you ready?
That they,
may,
they may,
see,
see,
see. Okay, good. So the first part, let your light shine.
Amen.
Second part, so that they may see.
Amen.
I'll read to you Philippians 2:15. That you may be blameless and guileless children of God.
Amen.
Without blemish, in the midst, isn't that right? In the midst of a crooked and perverted generation.
Amen.
Among whom, not just in the meetings, not just in the church meetings, not just when you're with the brothers and sisters, but when you're in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation. That means in your neighborhood, right? That means in your schools where you go, you would be there shining. So it says, as children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation, among whom?
Yeah.
Among whom? You.
Right.
Who? You. What do? Shine.
Amen.
Shine as luminaries in the world. I'll read you the rest of the outline. Light is the shining of a lamp to enlighten those in darkness. To the darkened world, the people of the kingdom of the heavens are such a light, effacing the world's darkness. In nature, they are the healing salt. And in behavior, the way we behave, the way we live, the way we conduct, they are the shining light. The believers are like luminaries that reflect the light of the sun. As such luminaries, the believers shine in the world.
Amen.
The believers do not possess any light in themselves, but have a heavenly ability to reflect the light of Christ.
Amen.
Brothers, how do we shine? We don't have any light in ourselves. But just like the moon, when you look at the moon, on the night of a full moon, it's so bright. It's shining so bright. But where does the light from the moon come? It comes from the sun. When the moon beholds the sun, it reflects the light of the sun.
Amen.
So the light you see from the moon, that's a reflection of the light of the sun.
Amen.
How do we shine? We have to realize we are luminaries. The more time we spend beholding the Lord, that's right, we can behold the Lord. We can behold God. We can spend time with God. God is light.
Amen.
God is light. And so if you spend time with God and He shines His light on you, you will be a luminary. You will be able to reflect to those around you that light.
Amen.
others will be able to see God. God shining in you and through you. Through what? Through your behavior. Through the way you live. That's why we can't be the same as them. Because they're not beholding God. They're not shining. They're not reflecting God. And when we come into their midst, there's a shining that we sometimes don't even know. It's not like you walk up to someone and you try to shine. No, but just when you've been beholding the Lord and you come into them, something shines. And light touches them. And light convicts them. I've walked up to people that I know and I've been with them, and all of a sudden they start apologizing to me. Oh, I'm sorry about the way I said this, the way I said that. I didn't even say anything to them. Or sometimes they go to pull out a cigarette and they see me, and as they come up to talk, oh, sorry. I never asked them to apologize for their smoking. But why did they feel to apologize? Because there's some light. When I came to them, there was some light shining on them. One case this week I heard was really encouraging. There was a new brother that had started to come to the meetings. And on one day this week, he told the other brothers who had been caring for him, he said, you've got to take me to Target. And they said, why? He says, I want to go to Target and I want to buy some nice clothes to wear to the meeting on Lord's Day. Wow. When I heard that, I was so excited. Do you know why? Because nobody told him to wear nice clothes to the meeting on Lord's Day. He was coming to our meetings on Lord's Day. He was sitting in the front row, and he was just wearing a t-shirt, some shorts, and some flip-flops or sandals. And he was just in the meeting there. Then after meeting with us and being in our presence, he began to have some realization, wow, when I come to a meeting of God, I should dress appropriately for this meeting. I shouldn't come to this meeting like I'm going to the beach or to hang out. Nobody said a thing to him, but surely the saints, just by beholding the Lord and shining the Lord, a light came to him. He got enlightened. Wow, I need to have some respect when I come to the meetings. Even the way I dress should show some respect. Then I heard another story this week. Oh, this also made me happy. This story was another brother. He had just come to university. And he was meeting with the brothers, and he was enjoying the Lord and reading the Word. And then he started doing something not so good. I won't tell you what it is, okay? But not so healthy, not so normal. And the brothers didn't say anything to him, but they just kept meeting with him. Well, I heard him this week. He said, brothers, I don't think I can meet with you anymore. And they asked him why. He says, brothers, because when I come to the meetings, oh, I feel so convicted about that thing that I'm doing. When I heard that, I was like, that is awesome. Because the brothers never convicted him. They never said, you know, you're really naughty for doing that thing. You really should stop doing that thing. No, what was he saying? He's saying, there's light. When I come and meet with you, when you come and meet with me, there's light there shining on my darkness, and I can't hide. I can't hide what I'm doing. And I get convicted, I get bothered that this is not right. Actually, this is really good. This is really good. We should have this kind of influence on people without even saying something to them. They have this realization, the way I'm living, the way I'm conducting myself is not right. Then they may ask you, how come you're able to live like you can live? Then you should say, it's because of the Lord. And then you can tell them about the Lord. That's right. Okay, so here's my last thing. I got 1 minute, okay? Here's my one minute. Brothers, when you go out your front door every morning to school, you are walking to your junior high school, you have to realize you're walking into the midst of a crooked and perverted generation. When you walk into their midst, right here, let me get into your midst, okay? You're right here in their midst. What does the enemy want to do with those around you? He wants to use them to influence you, to make you just like them, so that in the end, you can't see any distinction. You're just like them. You've lost your saltiness. You've covered your light. You're not shining anymore. There's no distinction. The Lord looks, says, oh, on that junior high, I should have some who are the salt and some who are the light. And he goes to look. Where are they? I can't see them. They look just like all the other junior highs. But what the situation should be very normal. That you are there in a normal way, with a normal kind of living, that is a salt to preserve the situation, and is a light to shine on those around, so that they too could come to know the Lord, just like you know the Lord. Okay, so I'm concerned. Every morning you're going to go into that situation. Every day there's this influence going on. Who's going to influence who? Well, here's my encouragement to you. Morning revival. Morning revival. Do you know what morning revival is? It's every morning you wake up, right? And you're like this. Not so filled with the Lord, right? Or maybe there's just a little bit of air. Every morning, before you go out the door, before you get onto your campus in the midst of that crooked and perverted generation, you need to get filled up with the Lord. When you get filled up with the Lord, you're salty. When you get filled up with the Lord, you have light to shine. You need to take time in the morning. Yes, junior high brother, this is not an oldies thing, okay? This is not something just that old people do. You might think, oh, that's what my mom and dad do. That's for the old folks. No, this is for the normal folks. This is to be normal. This is to maintain our saltiness. This is to have time to behold the Lord so we would have light to reflect. Junior high brothers, please, every morning, would you do this? Begin to practice to have a time with the Lord in the morning. What can you do in that time? You can call on the Lord. Amen. You can pray, read some verses. Amen. You can pray for the Lord to strengthen you. Amen. You can even call another junior high, right? Or call a serving one. But please, please begin to pick up this practice of every morning to spend some time with the Lord, to enjoy the Lord, to get filled with the Lord.